lays out a description of the project and what the costs are, what the benefits are, what the potential problems there are. And so the council would have to approve the project before the city proceeded. And so when the council approves the scoping document, then that gives the administrative staff, or whoever the project manager is, the go-ahead to begin developing the thing and develop like contract documents and so forth.
Okay.
For the project.
Yeah.
That's kind of
Is Dolly the first road that's been chosen for that, or
well, we got another one. We got a scoping document already approved for Wilson, which is actually a higher priority and is a bigger problem. But in Wilson, we're kind of holding off to get that LIDAR mapping updated. They were doing LIDAR from the park to provide better mapping for the park and show all the elevation changes. And then and the city made arrangements to piggyback onto that so we could get LIDAR at Gustavus, which then helps us understand.
You're using a term that I don't understand.
Oh, LIDAR, yeah. LIDAR, L-I-D-A-R. And it's light amplification and ranging is what it means. But
like survey of the land.
Yeah, well, what it is you fly it with an airplane, and you shoot laser off it. Laser beams off of the surface of the land underneath the trees and everything. Then you do it so many of them from so many different angles that you can get a three-dimensional picture of the ground and exactly what the elevations are.
Yeah, okay.
So it gives, because you've got this problem with our community being so flat, whenever we're trying to do drainage, you can run levels with a surveyor, but if we had a better picture of what their contours were, right down to, say, a foot elevation difference, then we can plan the drainage project better and do things where we are more certain that our project is really going to work. It's going to be beneficial.
Okay, thank you.
So that's kind of what we're...
I appreciate that thing, sure, very much.
So we're going to do that. We're waiting for that on Wilson. And they've already flown some or all of Gustavus, but we probably won't get the data until next year on the map. So we may not be able to do much on Wilson unless we decide to proceed anyway.
Oh, thank you.
Morning, Joe. Or evening, I mean.
Yeah, hi.
Morning, Joe. See, I know it's not
me. You were just copying me. You were mimicking me.
Sorry,
we get down to this part.
Where am I?
You get any idea where the point is?
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I don't know where they ran it up the road here. It's not in the same trenches as.
As the tower, right. I don't know if they were picking up the phone line.
It's like come straight over.
Phone company has to do it as well. But right now, it's just kind of the early stage to help us figure out where the edge would be. Do we have a big problem with the power line or not?
No, I already got a Thursday.
We don't have a big problem. Crosses.
You'll have your.
What we, it's just to help us do scoping documents and develop a description of the project. And estimate the cost so we come to the council and get approval.
You don't have much value for us.
You can either.
Are you talking about putting that ahead of both of them?
Well, not necessarily. I think Wilson Road is more important. Wilson Road would may also need. Probably more important to have the LIDAR mapping data than we're doing, which is not going to happen until next time. So at this point, though, we'd just be doing a scope.
How are you?
I'm okay.
So at this point, it's more of figuring out where would the edge be, how much volume
we have.
There's a. That whole first section of that road floods and into the yard there on
later in the meeting, okay.
Because of the way the road directs water. I'm not sure who's in my But
if we did, if anybody else wants to
send it over, and then we can route it into the into the ditch on the other side of the
clock over there.
I'll just stand up and get enough water off of the side. Dolly Varden a lot better. Then we would be able to, some of the material would be out of that ditch to fill up any space.
You can steal my sleeve on my deck.
Reduce the amount of meters we have to get in the ditch. Some rough or some stones on our
how to get around the website, maybe type, maybe the cars. the way I was doing before, and they're gonna set up a.
Stay on the line, spend all day today to keep up with you guys.
Thank you.
should be able to find it. Can see the whole. Let's see if they're still including all the fair weather grounds and going outside with his feet.
It's 7 o'clock, and I'd like to call the regular meeting of the Gustavo City Council order. Today is October 14th, 2019. Madam Clerk, can I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Owen. Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Warner.
Here.
Councilmember Vander Zanden.
Here.
Councilmember Clark.
Here.
Vice Mayor Panamar.
Here.
And Mayor Castlepit.
Here.
Okay. First on the agenda is approval of minutes from our September 16th meeting, our special meeting on October 4th, and our special meeting on October 7th.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I would like to move to approve by unanimous consent the general meeting minutes from September 16th and special meeting minutes from October 4th and October 7th, 2019.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Susan, seconded by Brittany to approve the meeting minutes from our general meeting on September 16th, our special meeting on October 4th, and another special meeting on October 7th. Is there any, the minutes have been distributed, and they're also up on the board. Do any members of the public have any additions or corrections to the minutes? Doesn't appear so. Do council members have any corrections or comments from the minutes? Doesn't appear so. If there are no objections, can we have unanimous consent for approval?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's nodding. So those minutes are approved. Okay, request for agenda changes. I have no requests for agenda changes. So I have no suggestions for the changes to the agenda. Is there any council comments? If I can have unanimous consent, we'll set the agenda. The agenda is set. First on the agenda, or next on the agenda, is our committee and staff report. And Karen has asked me to make sure that we keep those to 5 minutes. She has a timer, and she's actually going to keep track. I have to honor the clerk on that. So the first one up will be Gustavus Visitor Association. End of year report. GBA?
No, it's not.
Okay. The Rookery, the preschool and child care programs.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. I get to be first in the whole room. So thank you for everything you do. This is our end of year report. I turned it in back in July, but I haven't been able to be here to present it. So actually, it's kind of nice to be able to present it to you now that you have a new council. Hopefully, you had a chance to look at it. I won't go through it in detail, but stop me at any time if you have questions. So first of all, thank you again for this assistance to our program. Because of this funding that we got from the city for this last fiscal year, we were able to offer these services. So we got the money in July, and summer, like everywhere else in Gustavus, people are able to make money. People have money, and people are spending money. So we're okay, but then in February, we would not have been able to make payroll were it not for this money. So it is really, really important. It's how we've been able to continue. Anyways, just some stats from the year. We had 12 preschool kids last year. 32 kids attended childcare. Some of those 32 were also preschoolers, so those numbers are counted twice. 24 families altogether used our services. Huge list of local employers. These are huge employers in town whose staff used our services so that they could work. So that's a big deal for the business community. An estimated amount of 600 volunteer hours were donated. That's not counting any hours staff spent doing in our education. They're required to do a significant amount of education, including college courses every couple of years. Just this year, 5 University of Alaska courses were completed. 4 of us went to a 2-day conference in Juneau. 4 of us went through CPR first aid. All of us have to keep current in that. And 9 people completed 8 additional hours of training. We had 2 inspections by the state with no findings or fines, so that was good. So that's kind of the whole narrative. Then you've got our financial statement. I don't want to go into detail about that, but we did end the year at a total loss of about $4,000. I attribute that to 2 things primarily. One was the dance that we do, the Bluegrass Festival in May. Ended up we paid a couple $1,000s in expenses for that, whereas in the past we've had a lot of that stuff donated. So that was a huge cost we were expecting. And then the other one was, so this is the fiscal year July through June, and June of 2019 is the busiest we've ever been. So we spent a lot in payroll in this fiscal year, but we didn't actually bill for any of that month until July. So we had a lot of income in July because of it, but it mixed up our profit and loss for that fiscal year, if that makes sense. I did put a little section to explain the tuition discounts we give. Something I didn't put in this report that was really exciting for us is I went through and found the state of Alaska's range of fee scale for services like ours, and our price without any discounts and our price with all the discounts. Both of those costs fall within the state range. Does that make sense? So it's exciting to see, even though we're giving all these discounts, that looks a lot like a lot of money we're giving away, we're still falling within the range of what other families pay for these services throughout the state. So that was neat, since our families can't really afford much more than we already charge them. And that's it, unless there's any questions.
Yeah, on your profit and loss previous year comparison,
okay.
There's a typo. Total program income, it was $32,077. It should be $99,487.20.
So, profit and loss previous year comparison.
Total program income in FY18-19. It's correct in your detail page over the fiscal year, but that's just a typo, I think.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, because I pulled it into Excel. That's a good
catch. Yeah, you might want to correct that one.
The rest of the numbers are accurate. It's just that one.
Yeah, they reconcile against your detail page, so I think that's fine. And then I had a question about your payroll went up by 32%.
Okay.
So why was that?
Let's see, so payroll up by 32%.
Yeah.
That's a significant amount of growth we've had. One being 17-18 to 18-19. In the year 17-18, I was still doing quite a bit of the administration for the organization as a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
So a big part of that is starting to pay for the administration of the organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was still a student in 17-18, so the agreement there was I was still getting my degree, working toward that, and moving into being a fully paid staff member.
Okay.
Which I somewhat am now.
And in the 12 preschool students, how many of those are like every week, and how many of those are like maybe they showed up once a month, or what's your usual enrollment in the preschool?
So the preschool program, all like in general, we assume preschool kids are going to be there every day throughout the year.
Uh-huh.
In reality, last year I think there were 10 who stayed the whole time.
Uh-huh.
The other two, one of them moved out of town, and one of them was just sporadic.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then you said some of the daycare 32 count were preschool as well. How many of those are doubled?
That's a good question. It's probably 6 to 8 of them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
On the unexpected loss, the $4,000 loss, is that something that will recur, or is it something can be avoided next year, or what's going to happen there?
I mean, we do the best we can. This is why we are a contracted social service and why we continue to search for as many funding opportunities as we can. We truly believe in these services, and there is a market failure in the economy of this arena. So the cost of offering quality services, parents cannot pay for. So we do the best we can. Again, I said one of those was because of a huge cost for the fundraiser. You know, we already had committed to doing the fundraiser. We couldn't really back out at that point, and we didn't have a donor to give that much. And then the part in June, I don't feel like that should be a negative reflection of us, because we only bill monthly, and so the whole month of June we're paying payroll, but we haven't billed invoice the families yet. So, yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you. I'll be back next month with this last quarter.
Thanks, Larry. Okay, the library, public library.
Good evening, Dan. Hello,
Grace.
Hello, here's our report. Coming out of the summer months, the big focus of ours is on the summer reading program. And we felt that this year the summer reading program was very successful at the library. We partnered once again with the National Park Service to provide weekly events for kids and teens. We held a total of 45 summer reading events at the library this summer, with a total of 825 attendees. 53 individual kids, 23 individual teens and tweens, and 39 individual adults signed up to participate in the program this year. One of the new things we started keeping track of was because typically teen and tween involvement in our programs across the board at the library has been lower than other groups. We tried out last year doing a teen scratch ticket, where basically anytime a teenager comes into the library over the summer, checks out a book, they get a scratch ticket and a chance to instantly win something. And so we kept track of how many of those tickets we gave out this year. It's something we didn't keep track of last year, and we had 104 teen and tween book checkouts this summer. What else did I want to tell you about? One new thing is that we're working with the middle and high school English teacher so that we are kind of doing some library outreach with the middle and high school students. By bringing library books, current resources to the classroom instead of trying to get them to come to us, which has been challenging in the past. So that's a new partnership, and so far it's been going really well. We've had people using those resources and excited about it. We are looking forward to Halloween programming coming up, National Novel Writing Month in November. One additional thing that will be happening in November is an author visit. We're having a children's author who is from Southeast Alaska, who's really excited to come to Gustavus and do a reading and a book signing and a presentation as well. We are just kind of nearing the end of our 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten piece of the endowment grant, and I'm getting all of our materials kind of ready, so we're right at the finishing phase of that, so I'm really excited to get people started on doing that program. If you aren't aware of what we're doing with that, it's an incentive program to get young children and their caregivers to read 1,000 books for kindergarten and to give out stickers and their cute coloring pages and whatnot. Great. Yes. Online with libraries was kind of under threat from the state of not being funded. It is now being funded again.
Yes.
Very excited about that.
$2,000, basically.
What else? There's something else I wanted to say. I think in the training part of this, I might have mentioned applying for a scholarship to attend a training in Juneau. I received a scholarship, so I will be going to the after-school conference in Juneau in November to meet with other people who are doing educational-based work with kids outside of school hours. So the scholarship covers the cost of travel and the registration fee for conference.
Welcome.
And there is one example of one of the things we did through our summer reading program, which was it was a voluntary project where we transposed participants' faces onto the book, and they were very excited about it, and they pinned out of them. So
yeah, it was super cute.
Anything else you wanted to talk about?
I don't know. we're still hopefully going to move forward on some sort of bike storage plan. Still a huge issue. People like to ride their bikes here. They like to ride them in the rain. We like to ride them in the rain. We like to park them without giving wet. So, if you can read along, we can fill you in later about the history of that, but it's still a challenge for us to be able to provide that.
That is.
Yes. Our boiler system was tweaked. We have some new digital awesomeness happening, and so now we're not hopefully burning so much fuel, and the boiler's working a lot more efficiently so far. And Jeff Irwin's coming to test that every week, I believe.
Our custodial contract has begun, and we're super pleased to have regular cleaning service at the library. It's been a huge help so far, so we really appreciate that that was approved by the council. It's been great.
Super helpful. Mm-hmm. I don't have any meetings coming up.
Cool. Any questions for our librarians?
Who's doing the cleaning?
Sasha. Yeah. She's doing a great job. She's already tackled all of the windows and adjusted all the tops of the bookshelves. Just things that don't make it to the top of our priority list because I'm only 20 hours a week and she's 30. And so, beautiful. Beautiful. Thanks.
Thank you.
I had I just wanted to the visiting author come in. The third presentation you were talking about, I thought it was kind of cool. She's going to be talking to authors here about self-publishing, and I think that's really cool that we're able to have somebody come in and not only for the kids but for people in town that are writers and
I thought that was really neat.
So thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just I'm a reader. Do you have a typo on page 32 or 76?
Of course there is.
There for you.
Sorry. where you're talking about OWL and you say that the money really helps because it's $2,000 per month, which you do per year, yes. The OWL funding is $2,000 per year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you might
not a whole lot of money.
No.
I remember saying.
So you might want to correct that.
It's like $170 a month or something. Got it.
Yeah. Great.
Okay.
The numbers are
good. Okay, next, Travis, volunteer fire department.
I'm gonna have typos in mine.
I don't even have insurance for my pencil.
Don't even worry, they're gonna be there.
First, I guess we can say that Johan and I went this a couple weeks back to Ketchikan for Fire Conference, the yearly thing that I've been here that we've been going to. I think even before that, they were sending people off and on to it. Johan took a lot of good classes. I attended as well. You can see what we kind of did there. The big news out of that conference for us, I think Gus Davis people anyway, is that two of us became life members of that organization, and to do that you have to have 20 years in the fire service and 5 years within that organization, and Doc and myself became life members of that organization. So it saves us up to $500 every time I go to conference. I don't have to pay those registration fees, which is the benefit of that, basically. So there's about 150 of those people within the state that have that membership. So that's cool. Anyways, for my quarterly report, when I wrote this, we're at 52 calls. We've had a couple others since then, 39 EMS calls, 13 fire calls, about 250 hours of total volunteered hours from my volunteer staff that I have, which is about 29 people right now, give or take, depending on the season. We've had, so this started in July, which was the fire ban that we had. So we did have we were part of that state fire ban of the fire and fireworks and all that good stuff. We did have a couple fire calls during that time, so it was kind of interesting. We had a burn girl that somebody lit off, which was not in a good area, but all that. We got that out. She got educated on that, kind of, and we moved on from there. August was my busiest month I've ever had since I've been here in the 3.5 years that I've been doing this for Gus Davis. We had a total of, like, 17 calls. So it was kind of busy for us. A lot of paperwork for me also. Chuck Young started talking to people around town, gathering phone numbers and information for our small community emergency response plan, which has been then formed into emergency, bigger and more in-depth emergency response plans. Put a new sign out in front of the fire hall if you guys haven't noticed. There's signs everywhere around that educate you on what the different levels mean. Hopefully we never have to deal with anything worse than high. You know, those extreme days aren't very fun, so I don't get much sleep during those days. So I like to keep the weather a little bit rainy. Had another burn barrel during that month. Same burn barrel, lit off again. Remember, she got the education that time, hopefully. That it's not a good spot, needs to be done. That was September. We got a grant from NOAA, grant or something. They put in the NOAA budget for another tsunami siren. So after the last earthquake that happened, the big earthquake, people wanted a siren to alert if there was a tsunami. So we've gone back and done that again, like we did about 5 years ago or so. So it's back in there. It's awarded to us for the most part. Started filling out the paperwork and going through with it, and we'll figure out all the details of tolls and all that stuff later. But we're starting that process of looking at where that's going to be the best at. So that, questions? Anything?
Any questions for Travis? Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you. That was easy.
Hey, Phoebe?
Good evening, everybody.
Hi.
You'll have my financial reports every month, but I come and actually speak to you every few months, and this is one of my times to do that. I want to do welcome Joe and Joe onto the council, and Shelley back onto the council, and just reiterate that I'm happy to answer any questions or go over all my money reports anytime that I can if it helps. We're getting close to finalizing our books on FY19, which ended at the end of June. We have a couple more ambulance transport billings to finalize, and then I'll present it to the council to act on to create our certified financial statements for the fiscal year. We ended great with a surplus of $115,000, so we're in continuing to be in great shape. Our retail tax for the year was $392,000, and our room tax was over $70,000. So both those, the retail tax continues to increase, and our room tax is holding steady, so both those numbers are great. Some of that surplus was incorporated into our FY20 budget because we predicted it was going to be happening. As I state here, I'd recommend just for the time being that we move that surplus into one of our analyst investment savings accounts until if and when we end up needing that later in the budget cycle, so that we can be having some earnings on that. So we'll discuss that at the next work session, I think. See if that sounds good. I got a little blurb in here about of which we talked a little bit about when we were creating FY20 budget, about trying to get an audit maybe after FY20 completes, because it will have been 5 years since our last audit. So that just got a little background information, especially for the new council members to see where we're at. They used to have a threshold level that we would meet and would trigger a mandatory audit. They're no longer meeting those because we haven't had these huge projects lately, and they raised the level up quite a bit. So probably just be proof for us to do that ourselves here after this fiscal year, maybe. I have a little quick blurb here about we continue to have new businesses registering in Go Save Us. We have 24 so far this year compared to 21 last year. We have 179 registered business total right now. And our retail tax income that we collected the first quarter is up compared to last year, as is our room tax. So we'll, things are looking good for FY20. We'll have better sense next month. This is our big October's when the tax returns are due for the summer months, and so we'll know after October finishes kind of where we're looking for. That'll be our last big money intake for the fiscal year. The endowment fund grant application period, it closes at the end of October. We'll start talking about that in November and going over the process for reviewing those. And the current grantees are finishing up their expenditures for the years. And I was going to thank our outgoing council members for not having to come to Monday meetings, but you're here anyway. Can't get that. That's all I had for my summary. Does anybody have any questions about this or any of the financial reports that were in the packet?
Sorry. Can you explain to me again what the in the accounts receivable detail, the deferred fish box tax deferred income?
So the beginning of the spring, the businesses that issue fish box stickers come in and get their rolls of stickers. And at that time, I create an invoice for $1,000 per roll, because that's what they're worth. But at the end of the season, they can turn in that whole row and not have to pay the $1,000. And so it shows up on our accounts receivable, anything that I've issued.
Okay.
So we put it down under deferred income because we're not necessarily going to take that money in. Then when they actually do turn in tickets, it goes away from accounts receivable and deferred income and shows up as fish box tax in our operating budget.
As regular fish box tax income.
Right, exactly.
Okay, great.
So it's just a way to deal with those pending transactions. We'll zero out by the end of December.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Anybody else? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good time. You're next.
Good evening. We worked through most of the list during the work session last week. There was one update, and that has to do with the Marine Facilities Advisory Committee. We did get four respondents, Colleen Stansberry, Don Bryant, Justin Marchbanks, and Mike Halbert. We were asking for at least three members to join us. We got four. And unless there is an objection by the council, I'll notify those fine folks and welcome aboard the Marine Facilities Committee.
Okay.
Terrific. Other than that, there's no new information on the report. If you have to answer any questions. Ooh, thank you.
Hey, public comment on non-agenda items. This is the time for folks to come up and talk to us about things that are not on our agenda. I'm going to institute that same five-minute time limit for comment. So I think the first person on the list was Jake. So, Jake, I think you're representing the Park Service on this, and you have a little update for us.
All right. Good evening, City of Gustavus. Good evening, Community of Gustavus. So, I'm here, in this case, representing Glacier Bay National Park, providing you guys your quarterly update on permits or lack of on the intertie connection. And of course, like superintendent mentioned the last few times, we can come more often. If there's more urgent updates or if you guys request it, we're happy to meet with the mayor or come provide more information. So Philip, Superintendent Coogie, wasn't available tonight. He's in Washington, D.C., doing some work. But he didn't want to delay this update, so he sent me in his place. So I can go right into a couple updates, or if you would like, Cal, I can do a kind of a quick overview for the new council members.
I think that would be helpful, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's, of course, there's, I've got in my office probably about 5 feet worth of paperwork on the intertie. I mean, literally. So I'm not going to share that much. But the quick version, I'll just go kind of chronological. With the idea, under Dick Leavitt, that intertie or that Falls Creek could happen as a hydro plant, Park Service upgraded their generators in 98 to make some compatibility with communication, two-way switchgear, things like that, just in case something like that would happen. This was on a planned upgrade anyways, and they added that just in case. Then in 2000, as part of a roads and utility upgrade, where the ground was already disturbed, we extended the distribution line about a mile and a half from the Park Service generator, so it's partway down the park road to make for an easier connection. And that would be the final point of the intertie once that gets constructed. Let's see, then in 2004, environmental impact survey was completed for the Falls Creek hydro plant. 2005, Park Service did initial scoping for an intertie project. This was even before Falls Creek was constructed. Park Service did some basic feasibility. Could they make it work? Of course, at that time, we didn't have good numbers based on rates. 2006, the Falls Creek hydro project was approved or authorized by Alaska Department of Natural Resources. That same year, Park Service, actually me, as the Park Service Environmental Manager, I created the intertie project, and that was based on cost savings for park electrical costs, hopefully cost savings on maintenance costs, and then also for environmental gains. And then in 2008, we did a major update to that project based on presidential executive orders for environmental sustainability and trying to get federal facilities off of diesel. And that update in 2008 is what got it in the system and got it where it is today, where it's funded. See, I'll skip some of the others. So hydro began operation in 2009. So far this is all before the hydro plant was actually started. So since then, based on the 2006-2008 project, there's been a bunch of different components lining it up for construction. Components where we did a pretty in-depth feasibility study. In 2013-2015, we did a peer review of that study, just making sure that you were looking at it objectively and that it makes sense. 2016, we did a value analysis and power line value analysis also. That included the park, the Park Service region, and a contractor. And then finally in 2017, we did the initial planning and pre-design of what the intertie construction could be. And then at that point, it's where the city got a lot more involved. I know they were involved at different parts in between. The city, I know, put out a resolution in 17, CY 1709, if you guys want to look it up. Some point, that was a resolution showing a bunch of concerns they had, where is it going to be the best thing for the town and the park and the power company. Based on that, Park Service Regional Director used his authority and did some tweaks in the contract, which then started to put some of our value analysis in question, so it took a lot of finesse to keep it going. That's worked out. It got funded in 2018. So it's been, that was May, so over a year and a half now, it's actually been funded. In that time, done a bunch of work on it. The design build project scope for the contract was completed in 2018. So you remember that meeting we had, was it the fall before last or last fall? The contract was actually ready at that point. It's not the construction contract that's been holding it up. What's holding it up is lease agreements, utility easements, a appraisals, a lot of Department of Interior kind of policy requirements have really been kind of sticking point.
Okay, now we have
Should I talk faster? all right, so that gets me right to the update part. So I spent my 5 minutes on the history. Now that's my great. So the update is, and I know the city and the superintendent talked about those sticking points. City also brought that to Murkowski's office, which was really effective in that Murkowski sent a rep to work with the Alaska Park Service Regional Office, and they co-wrote some legislation that just got passed. So this was legislation in the latest, FY20 Continuing Resolution Appropriations Bill. So that's the bill that funded the entire government to keep operating until November. Kind of a Senate report as an addendum to an addendum. Has a paragraph in there that I'll email you guys. But it basically says we've got congressional authority to do a sole source with AP&T basically work towards operation, maintenance, fitting with the community needs, which matches the previous resolution. And then what that does is it allows us to possibly not have to do some of the appraisal and other things, since we already know what the end result would be. That could save us a bunch of time, which would put the schedule back on track for construction next summer. So we're hoping, I'm working on it this week, that we get some compliance things figured out. We get a utility service agreement with a maintenance agreement in place. And then we get the contract hopefully awarded maybe February, give them time for some compliance and permitting, and then do the earthwork in the late summer or early fall. And that's, of course, that's kind of best case scenario as I see it. These things take time, but that's kind of where we are right now. So I do think, I guess last thing I'll mention is planning ahead. Park Service does have quite a few projects for energy efficiency upgrades, just anticipating that we're going to be on a more efficient power source and renewable. So we're working towards changing the park fleet to more electric cars, like full-size electric vehicles. Starting this year, we're doing a study and upgrade of exterior lighting, and then next year, interior lighting, just getting ready, anticipating that it's all going to work eventually. Question?
Any questions? Sir?
Is it being determined in there during periods of low water flow or no water, or just increased load in this Davis, or it uses it all up? Who gets to generate diesel?
Yep. It'd be a shared system based a lot on the city resolution for keeping a microgrid. It seems like what AP&T preferred, which could work for the Park Service also, is that, so hydro, of course, is number one. That's primary. Secondary would be the Park Spartlett Cove station, and the Gustavus station would be kind of the third string on that. I'm not sure as far as rotation to keep everything going, what that would take.
And do you know when you did your line extension, I assume it was out to the depot?
Yes.
Did they include fiber in that?
Yes. Yep. So the project, the big dig, the big extension cord, somewhere in here, I got the numbers. It is 6.1 miles of power line and 8.5 miles of communication line. And that extra communication line is from the Gustavus Power Point to Good River Corner. And then from Good River Corner to the recycling center at the park is where it would be new for both. And everything else should be ready to connect. And, of course, I don't have the technical expertise. In fact, I was afraid you might ask some technical questions. So we're bringing in Denver Service Center, Park Service engineers, to manage the project, and we're running all our design stuff through them.
Any other questions for Jay? Okay, thank you, Jay.
All right, thank you.
Anybody else for a comment on non-agenda items?
Yeah, I'll be really quick. I just saw there's an article through KINY on Friday. It was about the, you already know, I just wanted to make sure everybody heard that HUNA is filing a technical review petition with Alaska to become a borough. And I guess the only thing I wanted to ask is if your resolution, the CY 1919 about the borough, if that was sent to people. I assumed it was, but I just wanted to make sure that that's still on the top of people's minds. I'm not saying I'm for anything here at all. That'd be super, super clear, but it is something that's pretty important. Thanks.
Thank you. I'll just say, we sent it over to them already. In fact, I should have gone out today already. I landed it up.
When they file their actual petition, we'll have to provide it as part of the public
right.
comment, so it will be part of the file.
Well, they,
when it gets to that
right. So they have a copy of it. It'll go in their file, but I also sent a copy to Huna as well. So Huna has that as well. I put a nice little cover letter to the one because I went to Huna. anyway, any other public comment on non-agenda items? Okay. We don't have a consent agenda. Our next item is an ordinance for public hearing, FY20-07 NCO for department budgets for FY20. We introduced this in September.
Sorry.
There you go. I just wanted to briefly go over what this is. I think we talked about in our work session. We need to add some money that Phoebe found that the state didn't give us. She found out that they ran the calculation wrong, so we're getting another $44,000 in bill. Plus, the OWL vetoes were reversed, so that's the, we were talking about online with libraries, that's the $2,000 that's being added there. So, anyway, that's what this NCO is all about. So, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor.
Oh, that's right. We don't make the motion until we have public comment. Okay, you're right. Okay, do any members of the public wish to speak on this NCO? Any comment?
Bravo to Phoebe.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Phoebe. I saw that email. I said, wow, that's cool. No public comment? Okay. Other than thanks, Phoebe. Okay, the public hearing has ended. Now I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve FY20-07 NCO for the departmental budgets FY20.
Second.
It's been moved by Brittany and seconded by Mike to approve FY20-07 NCO for our department budgets for FY20. I've already kind of described the motion or described this, what this does and what we're doing. Is there any further council comment or debate on this? Here, so are we ready? I think we are ready for a question.
Vice Mayor Canemore?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Stewart?
Yes.
Mayor Cassavet?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. Next one is another NCO, FY20-08 NCO, to close out our capital projects and return the unused funds to our accounts. You can see that up there. There was a little extra money left over from our storage bins and pallet jack project at the DRC. So that'll be returned back into our AMLIT's capital improvement accounts. Is there? So I'm going to open the public hearing is there any members of the public who wish to speak on this NCO? Yes, okay, that's so. Okay, our public hearing has ended. I will approve a motion. I would entertain a motion to approve this.
I move we approve FY20-08 NCO to close out the capital project and return unused funds.
Okay.
Seconded.
It's been moved by Joe Vanderzand and seconded by Susan Warner to approve FY20-08 NCO to close out the capital project and return the unused funds to our AMLIC accounts. Is there any other comment or debate by the council? Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Mayor Townsend?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Vanderzanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Panama? Yes. Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. On to new business. Okay, we have, excuse me, RFQ CP18-05, the DRC Infill Storage Area Project, and this is an RFQ, so basically on this is a motion to approve the RFQ for posting and getting bids. So I will entertain a motion.
Do you want to comment first on this?
Oh, go.
I don't know what the order is.
No, the comment comes after.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor,
yeah.
I move to approve issuance of RFQ CP18-05 for the DRC Inflow Storage Area Project.
I'll second that. So it's moved and seconded to approve the RFQ CP18-05, the DRC Inflow Storage Area Project. So is there any public comment on this? Okay. No public comment. It's down to the council for debate and comment and discussion. Go ahead, Mike.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to say I really appreciate the work that our TRC manager operator, Paul Berry, has done on this, and I think we've got a good RFQ, and it's a project we've been needing to do for a long time. It'll be an important improvement to the DRC, and I hope everybody will join me in supporting it.
Any other comment? I would just have a short comment. I agree as well. We've been working on this a while. It's something that we need to do, and so I'll be supporting it as well. Okay, any other comment? Okay, question.
Vice Mayor Canemar?
Yes.
Councilmember Vanderzanden?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. Item B. This is our resolution CY19-20, resolution of the City of Gustavus establishing a policy and procedures for city advisory committees and repealing an old resolution 2011-07, a resolution to adopt policy on an annual work plan for city committees.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt CY19-20, a resolution of the City of Gustavus establishing policy and procedures for city advisory committees and repealing resolution 2011-07, a resolution to adopt a policy on annual work plan for city committees.
I'll second. So it's been moved and seconded to approve CY19-20. A resolution for the City of Gustavus establishing a policy and procedure for city advisory committees and repealing resolution 2011-07A, a resolution for to adopt policy on annual work plans for city committees. Before we go on, I just thought I'd do a quick summary of what we're doing here. This would replace an existing resolution that's on the books that has, if we want to go, do we have the old one on?
No.
No, we don't have the old one. The old one had a, was, and the old resolution was more designed for when the city didn't have departments. For instance, everything was run by committee. A lot of what was on that those spreadsheets for the committees was, you know, how the committee was going to spend money, what they were going to spend money on. It was kind of a almost a budget control thing for how these committees would spend money and work on projects. Since now our committees are more they provide recommendations for the council to take action. So the council is actually making the decisions on how much money gets spent where for what things. Kind of staff and I kind of felt that, and some of the council felt when we started working on it, that that kind of paperwork was probably unnecessary for the committees that we have now. So that's why these this new revised resolution was put together. So that's kind of a brief overview for folks here, how we got to where we're at. Okay, is there any public comment on this? No public comment? Now it's at the council table for comment and debate.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry I didn't think about this in a work session. It occurred to me we need a brief statement in here about the committees having a quorum and what a quorum is, so that we know whether they've got enough people to do business and whether you have to have a quorum, a minimum of a quorum to pass something, just as we do in the council. And so I'd like to add a line to that, and so I'm going to propose it as an amendment. I didn't write it out.
You didn't have to do that.
So the amendment would be to add, I'll read it to you first and then I'll write it and hand it to you. In the next to the last paragraph, that is following the paragraph that begins the conduct of meetings.
Are you on the resolution or the policy?
This is on the policy. I'm sorry.
Which page?
First page. Yeah, the first page under policy.
Okay.
And so it would be a committee must have a quorum to conduct business and to pass any recommendation. A quorum is 50% of the assigned membership increased to the next whole number.
So you still need to do it in writing so that you can...
Yeah, I'll write it down for you.
Comment for our new council members, just showing you the process of if you make an amendment during a meeting, you will have to stop and write it down before we can act on it. So it's always beneficial to write out your amendments before you come?
Which is what I should have done.
I'll second it.
Okay. So now I can read it in the record.
I hope you can read that.
Okay, no, I can make it.
And I can reread it. I've got it on. I wrote it down on the phone thing here.
Okay, so we have an amendment, and it's been seconded by, amendment by Mike Taylor, seconded by Susan Warner, to add a line under policy that says, a committee must have a quorum to conduct business and to pass any recommendation. A quorum is 50% of the assigned membership increased to the next poll number. Any discussion on the amendment?
I think it's a good amendment.
Okay. That's good. Go ahead.
What is the necessity for this?
Well, you know, normally with an advisory committee, we have in the past had a requirement, and I think we have something in ordinance that says we have to have a quorum for those, you know, for advisory committees. But that's to assure that we don't have, say, only one person shows up for the meeting and that one person makes all the decisions. You know, you have to have this drives assurance that there are that a quorum or a majority of the committee is there conducting the business, and that the any recommendations coming out of it really represent a majority of the committee.
Any other comments? Okay, let's have a roll call vote on the amendment, please. Everybody clear on what the amendment says? Okay.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Vanderzanden?
Yes.
Mayor Kasapet?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Owen?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Brownmore?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 7-0.
Okay, here it is. Okay, we have an amended main motion with the line added about quorums. Back to the main motion. Any more discussion on the main motion? Are we ready to proceed to vote? Like it? Okay, can we have a roll call vote on the main motion, Madam Clerk?
Vice Mayor Canamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Ahns?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Mayor Kasapet?
Yes.
Councilmember Vanderzanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. The next one we need to talk about is our work. If we were to hold our meeting on the day we're supposed to hold our meeting next month, we would hold it on a federal holiday, Veterans Day. So we need to reschedule that, and I believe Mr. Clark has a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move to hold the November general meeting on November 12th instead of November 11th due to Veterans Day holiday and Alaska Municipal League Conference Day conflict.
I'll second that. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to schedule our regular November meeting for the 12th instead of the 11th. Is there any public comment on this item? Any council comment? Okay. I guess we're ready for a vote.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owen?
Yes.
Councilmember Vanderzanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Canamore?
Yes.
Mayor Kasapet?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. D? Do we want to... So the next on our agenda is to award a request for RFQ FY20-03RM to denude the city gravel pit area.
Public comment first, or
no?
Motion. Okay, Mr. Mayor. I move to award the work of RFQ F, the work described in RFQ FY20-03RM to denude the city gravel pit area to Fairweather Construction Company for their bid received October
2, 2019. I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to award the contract for denuding a portion of the city gravel pits as described in RFQ 20-03RM to Fairweather Construction in accordance with their quotation dated October 2, 2019. Like I said, it's been moved. It was moved by Mike, seconded by Susan. Now it is time for public comment. Any public comment on this? Okay. Any council comment? Debate.
Just for the public's information, we had three bids on this, and the low bidder was Fairweather Construction in the amount of $7,000 on this project, and it is to clear the forest between a couple of the ponds to open up a good section of gravel for excavation that hasn't been available previously because of the vegetative cover on it. So this will allow us to access gravel that we haven't been able to previously.
Mr. Mayor?
Mm-hmm.
Are we confident that at less than 50% of the lowest bidder to the other bidders that the bidder will perform to the scope of the contract?
I don't see why not. I mean,
I don't either. It's just a significant difference in bid, so. Okay.
Okay. Any other comments, questions, concerns? Ready for the question.
Mayor Cassett?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Vanderlanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
7-0 passes.
Okay. We have another RFQ award, FY20-04RM for fiscal year 20 snow plowing.
Mr. Mayor, computer just went. Just disappeared everything on the screen. I move to award the work of the snow plowing work of RFQ FY20-04RM for FY20 snow plowing to Glacier Bay Construction per their bid received October 1, 2019. Thanks.
Okay. Been moved by Mike, seconded by Brittany, to award RFQ FY20-04RM for FY20 snow plowing to Glacier Bay Construction in accordance with their bid, their quotation dated 10-1-2019. Any public comment? No public comment. It's now to the council for comment and debate. Is there anybody who wishes to speak to this?
What was the amount of the bid?
That's based on is that a per mile?
The RFQ is set up to provide unit prices on a mile per mile basis, and then it's extended across all the number of roads we typically plow to get a total. But the RFQ has provisions, as it does our regular maintenance RFQ, for changing the number, the quantities, because of course we don't know how many times we'll have to plow. But I think that is about the price of one plow every road sitting, as I recall the way it was written. Am I correct on that?
Thank you.
Okay.
Not being knowledgeable on this, is that comparable to the last previous one?
It was a little higher.
It's a little higher. You know, fuel costs and things go up. So. And sometimes the mileage has changed too.
Yeah.
We've got some more roads.
But you said that figure is per mile.
This is extended. Mr. Mayor, if I can
right, answer that,
this is extended for a typical amount of plowing we would do if we plowed everything in the city. Now, we don't always direct every road to be plowed, but usually we do.
Okay. Any other discussion? Are we ready? I think we're ready for a vote.
Councilmember Owen?
Yes.
Mayor Cassifet?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, City Council reports. Do we have any reports? No, we don't have any reports. Okay. Council questions and comments. Go ahead.
I do have a question that maybe Mr. Van der Zanden can help with. We got a letter on the board for letters to the City Council dated Thursday, October 10th, regarding Alaska Power Company's PCE tariff rating, there was a tariff change of increasing the PCE. In September, it was 9 cents per kilowatt hour, and the tariff was increased to 14.8 cents per kilowatt hour. Can you explain that to me? It's a pretty significant increase.
Yeah.
In the PCE.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I don't know how the state figures the PCE. I thought it was great that they reinstated it.
Yeah.
From nothing. And that everybody had questions about their bills this past month because they were so cheap. I think that's because we got a couple of months worth. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I noticed that in my bill too. It was kind of nice.
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, go ahead.
You may have noticed they also used an adjustment that we got to COPA recently to take advantage of reduced costs that they have due to the tax cut bill that affected corporate taxes. And so we had a benefit from that. And then from time to time, APC actually proposes a change to calculation of a PCE, if I understand right, sometimes due to changes in costs or whatever, and this one benefits us from quite substantial.
Okay. No other council comments? Okay. I think we do have a public comment on non-agenda item. Linda?
As the voice of a number of people in the community that have some concerns.
And the same limit, 5 minutes.
Yeah, and it's about the office of the city administrator and also concerns about, from some of the residents here in the community, about our present city administrator, Mr. Williams. It's a sensitive topic, and it's not one that's easily rushed through, and I can't adequately, and I don't like the sound of the bell going off. So I'd like to ask for some grace for about 10 minutes. If you cannot do that, I have the copies of the letters here for the council and would also be making them available publicly for those who would want to have seen it.
We'll continue.
Well, once I start, I don't want to be stopped and because the time has run out. So either I have 10 minutes or not.
That's it. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to hear her full presentation, please.
We'll give you the full 10 minutes.
Thank you.
We've gotten the agenda pretty quick, so.
Thank you. Tonight I'm going to address a difficult subject. It's about the city administrator position and the city employee who currently occupies that space. I checked with our clerk to see if there was an official form to fill out for citizens to express or file a formal complaint against a city employee. There is none. The city clerk talked to the mayor, who suggested a private sealed letter could be sent to him. I have thought about it, but I do not have confidence in that suggestion for a number of reasons. I checked with a council member to see if there was a way to meet with the entire council privately for a group of residents to air what has become a widespread concern, to reasonably spare Mr. Williams' feelings, and to provide a safe environment for citizens to freely air their concerns. It seems evident in the end that there's no other avenue open, no good alternative, but for me to address this growing concern in front of the city council by open letter, as many in this community have a need for confidentiality and a very real worry about personal and or business retaliation by what is seen as a heavy-handed, out-of-line administrator. Mr. Williams was hired in August 2018 as a part-time employee to serve in the position of City of Gustavus Administrator using a now outdated job description. It certainly is within the scope of the council to create a position if it's deemed necessary. But was the consensus of the entire council or orchestrated by a few? Were there discussions one-on-one with any community members to get reaction from a larger section of the public, which would seem prudent given the significance of what was being created and what a change would have had to have been made to the yearly budget 3 months previously? Somewhere along the line, not so long ago, this position changed to full-time, and hours were increased along with a substantial increase in pay and benefits. Considering there was a lot of negative small-town buzz about this, I tried to find out why this occurred. What was the reason or need for this increase in hours? Whose idea was it? Were there discussions that occurred within the city council that could demonstrate to the people with documentation why and how this happened? I asked for any and all records that could shed light on the process. I received no information that could offer any explanations to these questions, though in part, I have come to understand that Mr. Williams took on a few of the treasurer's hours. It appears to be about around this time that the conversation turned to discussing the first-class city, VPSO, land designation zoning, and increase in city services taxes. The question remains, why, for a city our size, is a full-time administrator needed when many of our citizens, some past city employees, former council members, even some previous mayors, believe it to be over the top? Perhaps an appropriate place for the council to start would be to reevaluate the job description to fit our small city and curtail the present sky's the limit scope. This effort would undoubtedly bring respect and sincere thanks from many of our residents. In a recent election, Shelley Owens received 148 winning votes over Jim Wagner's 126. Congratulations to Shelley. I know that most of the votes for Jim were cast, believing him, among other things, to be the candidate most able to recognize the problem and to rein in the administrator's perceived overreach, having had personal experience with Mr. Williams in the past. It was not an anti-Shelley vote. On an interesting side note, just this past week, I have heard from some who cast votes for Shelley. And the reason they cast them for Shelley, they were hoping she would be the one to have the capacity to do the very same thing. I would also remind you that from the 262 letters the city received last month, there were similar themes and comments. When all is distilled and boiled down, most of the anger and discontent toward our city, brewing for some time now among a large group of residents, stems from Mr. Williams' debut and subsequent actions and some of his behaviors as our city administrator. According to the job description, Mr. Williams' employment is an at-will position, is one who works at the pleasure of the council, and is to be supervised on a day-to-day basis by our mayor. As residents of Gustavus, this position, as well as the mayor and city council, really work for us. And so it's appropriate, I believe, to question these things publicly. However, my main purpose in addressing the council is not to primarily question that we have an administrator position or how many hours that position should work, but to outline why many of us believe that this city administrator or employee has demonstrated that he may not be the right person for the job. And I would do so based upon the job description language. Number one, hiring qualifications. The job description states the successful applicant will be approachable and possess the ability to establish and maintain positive and cooperative working relationships with citizens, city officials, employees, businesses, and other government agencies. Mr. Williams has not demonstrated the ability to establish and maintain positive and cooperative working relationships with the citizens and businesses of Gustavus. In fact, to many, he has the reputation of an adversary, does not listen, is abrasive, sometimes condescending, finds ways to take on citizens or ideas before soliciting relevant information or seeking alternative solutions, and is not particularly approachable or friendly. Even at City Hall, during regular council meetings, he interacts only with staff and council and rarely, if ever, acknowledges the public. He has not displayed a grasp on what this community or its values is all about, and shows no inclination to do so, aside from sending letters of reprimand, exhibiting heavy-handed and premature opinions and uninformed reactions, singling out citizens, and so forth. This has resulted in a bullying mentality that is unacceptable and has no place in our community. Number two, position summary. The job description states, the city administrator advises the city council in developing policies through ordinances, resolutions, and directives, and is responsible for policy and implementation. Many of the citizens of Gustavus have lost confidence in Mr. Williams' ability and competence to conduct these responsibilities as stated. He has demonstrated that he has a propensity to speak impulsively, offering numbers both at formal meetings and in private conversations that would presumably inform him in these recommendations, but that are unsupported by facts. In other instances, he seems completely oblivious to what he does not know or what he needs to know, drawing conclusions way over his head. He has, on occasion, endeavored to act independently of the city's own rules and agreements by on-the-spot attempts to create new ones of his own. This unlimited scope of responsibilities allows him to seemingly make himself indispensable, to foster unrestrained job security by a council who might choose to take the easy road and not scrutinize, but allow the administrator unlimited range, or to build a private to-do list, and then to do the follow-up investigation or research for any and all of the issues that he can uncover, develop, or dream up. This is why many believe we have a city employee single-handedly guiding the direction of this city. The city council needs to rein this in and be the fiscally responsible elected body that sets the priorities and direction of this city as expressed by the citizens. An employee who is not trusted or respected has created a palpable animus that permeates a large portion of this town. This position, as outlined by current description, Banks play an important role in our city, but it must be accountable to the citizen through the council who employs him. Number three, Mr. Williams' alleged words as reported to me. On a recent occasion, when Mr. Williams addressed a group of our citizens, he offered that while he was in Angoon, he was more or less run out of town because of his bull in the china cabinet, aggressive, pushy style of operating. There was more said that will be left unsaid here to protect others on the periphery of that statement, but there is at least one individual who was a part of that group that is willing to verify these assertions. These expressions were perceived by some present to be a swagger or boasting, blowing his own horn at how effective he could be at pressing to get things done in this city, regardless if people were against it, as he was promising to do. This is beyond unacceptable as an attitude from an unelected city employee who has the power, who has commandeered the power away from an inattentive council to disregard and dismiss our citizens as though they are not neighbors, families, or our friends. So while Mr. Williams may do a great job in City Hall with HR, interacting with council members or other city employees, writes successful grants, or excels at other internal matters, we have no way of knowing these things one way or the other, but he does an unacceptable, even offensive job in dealing with some of the citizenry of this community. There can be two realities. Here is an analogy. When a bully displays bullying behavior on a playground, the only person who feels the brunt of that aggression is the child getting bullied. If all the other children on the playground spoke up on the bully's behalf because they had not been bullied and he had treated them well, it would not change the improper, toxic environment or lasting harm perpetrated on the victimized child or on this community. Tonight, I'm asking the City Council to, number one, clear the air, enlighten the oppressive mood of this community. Number two, to rein in the arbitrary and heavy-handed arm of the city administrator. Number three, to reevaluate some things and to take back the City Council-driven direction of this city to whatever extent it has been lost. And number four, to pay very close attention and to remove any obstacles that might be in the way of supervising a strong personality effectively. Number five, to assure us that the council's decisions will be fair and even-handed, thoroughly and accurately evaluated, and not driven by the whim, the retribution, or private agenda of the administrator. And finally, to advocate for us today and for the future of the place we are so thankful to be a part of. Thank you.
Any comments, questions? No? Okay. Any other public comments on non-agenda items? Anybody? I don't have anybody signed up. But. No? Okay. We are adjourned.
Before any of you leave, I have signatures needed, and I will not be on this letter for you.
No.
Unfortunately, I'm no longer.
one little bit of trouble. It's a fan that
first stage, right?
Yes.
I work on what I know.
I can't.
Tell me your first name on the council.
You are the first.